Hey, y'all.
What's up?
Welcome to the Entangled Podcast. My name is Ashley.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Henry. We are three educators from Teach for America that get together on this podcast to talk about education in Louisiana and all the subjects entangled within it. See what I did there?
In each episode, we unpack the latest news of Louisiana state of education, discuss the hottest topics in the field, and make sense of it all with a touch of humor.
Thank you for tuning into this episode, and we hope you enjoy the show.
All right, and we are back for another episode of the Entangled Podcast. Welcome back, y'all.
Yay, we're back.
Hey, thank you for welcoming me.
Not a problem. I am super excited for today's episode. We are going to feature a soon-to-be alum, so we'll get into that a little bit later. But to just get us started, what month we in now? We in April.
We just landed in April.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Sheesh. How was March for y'all? Are y'all excited for spring?
Well, and it's not just April. It's April Fool's Day.
Pretty much.
On the day recording. Of this recording. Yeah. Yeah.
And quite honestly, the past 2 years have been one big April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm, pretty much. Let me ask you, Taylor, has anyone pulled a good April Fool's joke on you or prank?
No, never.
Okay, I'll work on that.
April Fool's is just always weird because people always take it too far.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I'm like, why are you saying... Anyway, let me...
Okay. Yeah, we won't go too far, but you know, the general ones that are just like, you should just really be mindful of the things that you're joking about.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. No, I promise if I do a prank on you, it won't be traumatizing or anything like that.
Yeah,
it'll just be one of those that'll make you put your hand on your waist kind of jokes or pranks, you know.
Well, and tap my foot like I'm an auntie.
Yeah.
Not an auntie. Speaking of aunties and uncles, our core members are out there getting our kids ready for leap testing. How's that going as coaches?
Cool. How are they feeling? How do you think?
I know. It still is just like, you know, a question that could be answered, but it is true. We already know. So to all the educators out there already doing the leap review and doing the countdown, I was at a school earlier this week, and I think that was Wednesday, and the school leader said, yep, we got 18 more school days until the leap. I said, not to mention the fact that spring break for a lot of schools may be right before.
Which I never understand. I mean, honestly, but I get it. I get it because I'm like, if you don't get it, you just you're not gonna get it in 2 days.
That's true.
Or like whatever the case may be. Ideally, you've been learning this all year, but we know the deal.
I'd say for me, I've seen both ends of that spectrum. I've seen some of our core members who are actually have been impressing me with the way they're preparing their students for the leap. And then I've seen some that I'm, you know, I have my concerns, and we're working through it. And we're going to do the best we can with what we got.
Yeah. I'm going to get on my soapbox for a moment. I never understand test prep because, like I said, this is something that you should be learning the entire school year. Mm-hmm. And ideally you would also be teaching kids like promise and practices of taking tests throughout the school year,
right?
As opposed to just like the month before leap. So ideally you're teaching kids, hey, these are the reading strategies you might want to implement when you're taking a standardized test that is timed, as opposed to teaching them 2 weeks before the test. Steps off soapbox.
But you know what? I'll give some, like, a little bit of slack to our first years, because child, you just trying to learn how to swim in an open ocean, lake, pond, body of water. Okay. But and I know it's not even more seasoned, more veteran teachers, that's something they could do. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. And I was like, it's not even necessarily the teacher's fault. It's not really anybody's fault.
True.
It's just the fact that we have this idea that you need test prep when you should just be learning these skills all the time. Like I have a mentee at an after-school program here in Baton Rouge, and I was talking to them because they took a practice ACT and they did very well for their first time, like taking a practice test. Mm. And so I was just sharing some tips and tricks with them of like how I went about taking my ACT and how I go about taking all standardized tests. And I was like, you don't sit there and read the entire passage. Mm. You read the questions first, mm-hmm. you figure out what section of the reading you need to zoom in on, and then you read that part. Don't waste your time reading all 1700 paragraphs that you're not going to need. And they were like, oh, that's smart. You just been out here reading the paragraphs in its entirety? Why? Why?
Yeah. You know, sometimes it really just takes like the fifth or sixth person to say what we've been saying the whole time, because it's hard to me to imagine that this is the first time, by the time you're taking ACT, this is the first time you've ever heard of reading the questions first, you know?
And that's so the thing. It's just like, that's something that you should be learning when you start taking tests.
Right.
Well, I hope they got their test prep strategies in line, their morning routines in line, potentially some spring break plans in line. And all the best to all of our educators and support staff, leaders. It's leap season, y'all. So with that,
I don't know.
We're going to leap on over to our current events section.
Yes,
with that's it. Taylor Anderson.
Today, even though today is officially April 1st, on which we are recording this, yesterday, the last day of March, March 31st, was International Transgender Day of Visibility. And so I'm bringing it up again because, as with Black History Month, understanding and acknowledging trans people is a daily occurrence. So we're just going to start there. We're going to bring it up every day because they deserve to be visible every day. Okay. So Trans Day of Visibility is an annual awareness day celebrated around the world. The day is dedicated to celebrating the accomplishments of transgender and gender nonconforming people while raising awareness of the work that still needs to be done to achieve trans justice. Trans justice is not just something for trans people to be doing. Trans justice is something for cis people to also be participating in. All of this information is coming from the glisten.org website. I'm going to make sure this is in the show notes because they do have some educator tools that includes like a gender terminology discussion guide, which amen, because people just don't be knowing sometimes, and a student guide for the students and trans students and gender nonconforming students to know what their rights are in schools and how they deserve to be protected as they're attending schools, which are sometimes, unfortunately, not safe places for them. So that will be in the show notes. Please use those resources accordingly, as you are probably a safe person for a trans student in your school. So do that. And unfortunately, that means I got to leapfrog right on over to the to the mess after that, because Louisiana's version of Don't Say Gay Bill would ban talk of LGBTQ issues in the classroom. Jesus, take the wheel. Please. So in this advocate article, similar to the Florida bill that I'm sure everybody has heard about, a North Louisiana lawmaker has filed a bill that would ban discussion of sexual orientation or gender identity for students from kindergarten to eighth grade. And this is a quote by the representative who is submitting the bill. I talked to some educators. They are not equipped, nor do they want to deal with these types of issues that belong in the home.
I don't even know what that means.
Now, they are not equipped. That is probably a true statement. Teachers are not equipped to have conversations with kids that are not going to harm children even further. That is actual factual. But these are not types of issues, quote unquote, that belong in the home. Is the kid just supposed to drop off their identity at the house and then come to the school a different person?
That's what they're saying.
Okay, that don't make no sense to me.
As if even let's just say that this isn't a thing at your house. Like no one that you know identifies as transgender. It's not like transgender people are barging into your house and being like, hey, you got to deal with me now.
It doesn't make any sense. And the proposal is only 6 lines and it has been backed by religious leaders that, you know, that are encouraging this to be filed. And they just don't want teachers, school employees, or anybody else to cover these topics in their school. And my question is, what do they think is going to happen if they do not have these conversations? What do they think is going to happen if they do have these conversations?
Yeah. That's my question. If they do.
Yeah. Do they think everybody just going to be trans at the end of the conversation?
You know, people think like you can get gay from like, or be gay or get, you can get gay.
Basically. It's not, you can't,
it's not a thing. It's not a thing. You can't catch it. It's so within you.
It just, these are the things in my brain that just never register. Because
it won't make sense.
Yeah, and you can't make sense out of nonsense. Okay. So I am of the orientation that if you are an educator, you are there to support students in all of their identities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Facts. That means even if you do not agree, which who cares if you agree or not, because it ain't your body and it ain't your life. So if a student comes to you, you are supposed to be their safe person. Or give them resources. Or if you don't have the resources, it's okay to say, hey, baby, I don't know right now. Let mm-hmm. me go talk to somebody, AKA the GLSEN website, to figure out what it is that I need to, what I need to do to support you. So
quick little plug, huh?
You see what I did there?
Yeah.
Gotta make connections.
There we go.
So hopefully it's just a bill right now. Mm-hmm. And if you watched the little bill song and you remember what happened, it still got a lot of stages left to go through to for it passes. So we'll keep y'all updated on what happened there.
When I see things like that, I always wonder how much is this something that the legislators actually care about and how much is it more of something you do for popularity? Mm. You know?
Or to keep the status quo, like to keep your status within your community.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And let's just say, and then I'll move on. A lot of things in history have been created out of fear of other people.
Yeah.
So moseying right on long to on a positive note. The LDOE is distributing $17 billion to childcare providers. Amen.
Amen. Let's go.
They need it.
Need it. So they're going to have 2 rounds of the teacher support grant for open childcare assistance provider. So the teachers will be given a one-time stipend or some other supplement. And let's see, the initial round of the grant distributed over $10 million in August of 2021 to over 600 childcare providers across the state. And then the next round will be over $17 million. I have no concept of money and how much money is.
Yeah, when it comes to the millions.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. So the report, there's a report that's been submitted about the early childhood workforce. And I don't know if y'all know like how much early childhood educators get paid, but most of them get paid on an hourly rate that is maybe minimum wage or just above. Like what?
Also, I mean, the parents are paying a whole lot more than that.
Exactly. Right? Because I have friends with multiple children who pay a mortgage for some daycare. Yeah. $1,300.
Yeah. Like per week or something, or per month?
However often, it's still a lot. Yeah. I think it might be a month, but still. Oh, Cynthia DiCarlo. She was one of my professors at LSU. She on this bill talking about teachers working in early childhood care and education are still paid less than their service industry counterparts. So until we decide as a state to pay our teachers at par with the other job opportunities, we will not move forward with equality early child care and education in Louisiana, which is right. Shout out to Dr. DiCarlo. You're a real one. Okay. And the last thing is that the LDOE funds $40 million in Reimagine School Grant Program. Once again, where is all this money coming from?
So taxes.
I'm wondering if this was, you remember when we talked about the governor just giving money to different causes, I'm wondering if these buckets of money are coming out of that. I think it was like $440 million or something like that. Yeah. So I'm wondering if this is the we're finally seeing like the breakdown and the distribution of these funds.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. And still, where did that money come from? Because
they printed some mo.
That's hey. What
they printed a lot mo. Okay.
Yeah.
So the LDOE announced the school systems that have been approved to receive funding from the $40 million allocated for the Reimagine School Systems program. So in addition to financial resources, participating school systems receive technical assistance and targeted support to ensure the work is transformative and sustainable, which is nice because you can't just go giving people millions of dollars and be like, here, do something with it. And then be wondering why
nothing happens and the money disappears. Right. I hear that.
So from a quote from Dr. Cade Brumley, the superintendent, we launched this program in 2021. So we wanted to encourage schools to create a new high quality educational opportunity. We are extremely pleased with the quality of the applications we have received from school systems throughout the state. And he looks forward to getting more. So they have to date approved 36 applications from 31 school systems, allocating thus far a total of over $10.8 million. There's a lot of school districts on here, including EBR, East Louisiana. Let's see, all of the Orleans situations y'all got going on down there.
Love to hear it.
And yeah, there's a lot of other parishes I'm reading through, and there's a couple missing, but you know, and they're doing this in phases as well. So once a school has been approved, they get their funding in two phases. So the first phase, they get up to $350,000, and then the second phase, they get up to $1.5 million.
Okay.
So this ideally will allow schools to completely innovate on what they're doing, as opposed to getting the money and continuing to do the same thing that might not be working. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Well, that is all I got for current events.
All right. Now on to the teacher's lounge.
Yay.
Okay, so for our main segment today, we have a very special guest. His name is Jarvis Dillard. He is a second year core member who has been doing so much great work at his school. He's currently working at International High School here in New Orleans. He has a lot of great experiences with students. He has lots of side projects that he's also working on. He does a lot of work for his high school outside of teaching. So we are just super thrilled, super excited to have him on here. Mr. Dillard, how are you doing today, sir?
Oh, I sound so old when they say Mr. Dillard. I am wonderful. How are you all?
We are excited to have you here. Welcome.
So excited. Elated.
Oh, I like that. No, I teach English. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me look up my synonyms. Let me get on thesaurus.com real quick.
Yes. You know, speaking of which, Mr. Dillard, is there like a website or a favorite place to go to when it comes to looking for the best or the perfect English word for your essays?
Well, it's been a minute since I've actually written an essay. But I find my favorite words on television shows.
Oh.
I don't know if anybody else does this. The English teacher jumps out. When I'm watching a television show, I will hear a word that I've probably never heard before. I will pause it, look it up, screenshot it, and save it to a gallery. Mm. So there's like a bunch of words in my like gallery that I like try to use here and there.
That's smart.
That is, so like my last one was rapacious.
I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean?
Aggressively greedy or grasping.
Wow. Oh.
Hey.
So, oh, right. Yeah. And I think I got that on Bridgerton.
That sounds right.
You know, it just came out.
Yeah.
So, right. all my words, a lot of them come from Bridgerton. Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So are you someone that watches TV shows with the captions on?
Yes, I am.
Doesn't everybody?
Yes.
No.
I was going to say, I know I do. I like to, but I know people who really dislike it.
Yeah.
I've grown to be a person that's like, oh, I can deal with it now. But when I was younger, I'm like, why is this on my screen? I can't see everybody. I want to see the actor. I came here for the actors, not the words.
Right.
Got it. Got it.
But now, you know, we had to mature a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We just switched it up.
Got it.
All right, so we are here to talk about you, Jarvis, and basically your journey as a core member. And now that you're about to become an alum pretty soon, we just want to hear about your experience. So let's start at the very beginning, Jarvis. Mm-hmm. So let's start with your interest. Like, what compelled you to join Teach for America in the first place?
Okay, so I had never heard of it, like coming into college. Mm-hmm. I'm not a teaching major. I had no plans on entering a classroom. So teaching was nowhere on my list of things to do in my life. And I actually didn't know what I wanted to do in college. So like, I just went to an open major. But somewhere along the lines, I got the mantra, I want to make others the best versions of themselves as possible. It came out of nowhere, and it has been my life mantra ever since. So I was an African and African diaspora studies major. And so I was taking classes with one of the Teach for America ambassadors. And so she recommended me, as they do, they recommend people and source and all that. And so she sourced me and kind of got in the mix, and child, did a bomb application and a bomb interview and a bomb sample lesson.
Yes. I love that.
So yeah, and then I got accepted as a junior. So I was an EDL. Mm. And then they saw that I like to talk and like I knew people. And so I became a campus ambassador my senior year. And
of course you did.
That's how, of course. And so that's how I know all these terms and all these things. So yeah, I got in the world of TFA and I've been in it like 3 years. Like, I've been on payroll, okay?
That's what I was about to say. Started getting them coins.
Been barely on payroll before I was actually in the core, okay?
Oh, that's
Jarvis. Are you from New Orleans?
No, I am not. I am originally from Houston, but I went to school at the University of Texas at Austin.
Got it. Okay.
Is the country accent coming out?
I was like, you don't say you don't have a New Orleans accent, but I'm from Georgia and I know a country accent, but that's not a Georgia country accent. So that makes sense. Houston, that's what it is. Got it. Welcome.
So you were recommended. You got on payroll and then you joined the core. Right? You came down to New Orleans.
I did.
One of the things that we know, as all of us have done the core, and all of us have gone through our first and second year of teaching, we know that you came in during a time when teaching just looked totally different, right? It was virtual. Yeah, it was virtual. It was like sometimes we're on campus and then we're not on campus anymore. Talk to us about basically what that was like. And then if you will, also tell us about some of the struggles that you encountered.
So people ask me that and I'm like, well, I had never been in a classroom with children. Teaching online virtually was how I learned to teach. And so I didn't have a big problem. Even when we were kind of hybrid, like some kids on the computer and some kids in person, I was like, this is what I know because I don't know anything else because this is my first year. And so that was kind of, it was fun time for me because I got to like play with different stuff and like find fun ways to teach that I didn't get because of course we were fully in person when I was in high school. So that was fun. Also, kind of got noticed by the principal because principal's like, hey, I may be sending some of the older teachers who are struggling with technology your way to kind of help them out and figure it out. So, honey, I had it down, honey. I had my screen up with the kids in front of me, honey. I was doing the double thing. I was living the best life. Okay. So it wasn't really challenging for me. I'm like one of those go with the flow people. You only teach online. I got it. Teach hybrid. I got it. Teach in person. Mm-hmm. We're going to get through it. Okay.
We are.
Because dealing with attitudes on a computer and in person are two completely different things.
Oh, I hear that.
But I absolutely love it. I wanted to teach in person because I can like build relationship with my kids, like be able to reach out and lay hands if
I
need
to. Just put my hands on you.
Yeah, I'm like over the screen. They think they big and bad, but listen, when you here in my space, honey,
you can utilize proximity.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Come on, teacher time.
But I think in these last, I guess, year and a half, going on 2 years, I think the most challenging is trying to bridge the educational gap that my children have been dealt with this pandemic. Last year, everybody got passed because of the pandemic. So, and then everybody was still scrambling to try to figure out what they were actually doing. Even before, like I got in the core that year before is when everything broke out, like early 2020. Mm-hmm. So they were still trying to figure things out. And so I don't think the kids got the education that they deserved. And so it's showing in the classroom, especially seniors. I'm like, we should be far along in our writing. So my goal has been to prepare them for college and any type of paper they may get. And even if they go into the workforce, they're going to need to know how to communicate with other people, write emails, write letters, whatever they need. They're going to need to know how to write properly and speak properly in front of other people. And so that was a challenge for me. I do have some ELL and ESL kids who don't speak much English. And so they've missed almost a year of English learning. And so now they're in this IB English 4 class where I have a very high expectation of every last one of my children, and they're not performing so well. And so the challenge was trying to figure out how can I help them be successful, but still keep this high standard, because most of them do want to go to college and further their education. And I want them to be prepared because I wasn't.
Your experiences around technology and working with more veteran teachers made me think about Abbott Elementary, and I'm still working through the whole season.
Abbott.
Me too. It made me think about what's her name, Miss Barbara, right? The older teacher,
honey.
Yeah, it made me think
about her. Church every Sunday with her nails beat.
Exactly.
And that technology episode.
Yes.
With the tablets.
And that's, I think that's the last one that I watched. I'm still catching up, y'all. Okay, so don't come.
Oh, good. It's good.
But something that I've also been thinking about, especially with our new core coming in, Jarvis was there. He was actually on one of our panels that we had with our incoming core members. And just in like conversations and thinking about how to prepare teachers for the classroom, I think one mindset that folks can get on is like, you know, if I'm working with Black and Brown kids, how do I, like, what does it look like to hold them to a high standard without doing X, Y, and Z? And I think just by you saying that, I think it's just a reminder, like, as a Black teacher, it is okay to hold your students to a high caliber. It is okay. That's the expectation, period. And so just wanted to put that out there and just to affirm that as well, because I know our incoming core members and just like teachers in general are still thinking about that as well.
Well, I'm interested, Jarvis, because you said you wanted to give your kids like an education in high school to prepare them for college, because that's not necessarily something that you got. And I'm interested to hear, like, maybe what are some of the skills or knowledge gaps that didn't happen for you in high school that were helpful in college that you want to give and share with your kids?
Definitely writing more. So I was fortunate enough, my senior year, I got like a half a day, and I was recommended by my counselors and my principal to be a part of this student-led newspaper that was under the Houston Chronicle. Mm. So I would do a half a day at my school and then the other half in downtown Houston writing for a student-ran newspaper. I was the fashion editor.
Yes, fashion.
My minor is textiles and apparel. So yes. I love me some clothes and fabrics and all of that. But in that space, I wasn't really academic writing. College is a lot of writing, especially mm-hmm. your first few years, because you're not really in your specialization. Yep. And so you're getting your basics out of the way. And that's a lot of papers and all that. And my major is liberal arts major, even more papers.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I was ready for the amount of the challenge that I got in college. I was not prepared to write 6 to 10 page papers at all, because I don't think I had to write a 3-page paper in high school. So definitely that, and definitely not multiple. I think the workload, my workload was, I tell people, I breezed through high school. Same. Like, I was one of those AP kids. Like, I took classes with these same kids from first grade, pre-AP, yep. all the way up until high school. Yep. Same oh, wow. group of people, same classes every year, except in 7th grade, I have a twin, and me and my twin were both in AP, and our reading teacher was like, both of you all are not going to be in my class at the same time. So that was the only year we weren't in the same class. But even all the way up, I come from a low income community, and so we weren't challenged like we should have been. I think I put myself in positions to challenge myself. Like, every summer I was at a university in some program, some STEM programs from middle school up until high school. So I was always putting myself in these positions, but my school did not prepare me for college level courses. And so I want to make sure that my kids get a taste of that before they get there. So when they're there, they're like, honey, I did this in high school. This mm-hmm. is about to be mm-hmm. a breeze.
Yeah.
So like today, real quick, this week is about the art of persuasion, because we're writing persuasive and argumentative essays. Mm. And so they had never heard of an elevator pitch. And so I thought of this idea that we can do like a Shark Tank.
Yes.
We prepped their mini elevator pitches, and then I had some administration and other teachers come in, and they were my sharks, and my kids had to get up and do a mini elevator pitch. They created a company from scratch, name, they had to pick a product from my classroom, and they had to sell it to the sharks. And like, I don't think they're doing this in other English classes. I definitely didn't have to present in my English class.
Yeah, no.
Because college is definitely presentation heavy and working with other people. And so I want to get them used to, even if you don't like this person, you may have to work with them. So either get a passing grade, working together, or fail and do what you want to do. So teaching these lessons early.
Yes. No, I love that. I love the Shark Tank idea. Great show. And I love the idea of like incorporating something that kids may have familiarity with. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not very often, I think, like people like take an elevator, or even if they do take an elevator, how often is somebody giving you an elevator pitch in an elevator? Like, I don't. Right. And so it's just something that's not culturally across, I don't know. I've never had it happen to me. So I appreciate you taking like a show that they probably have heard about and seen and giving them the opportunity to practice those same skills, as opposed to just like write an argumentative essay as to why this character is better than this character.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the same skill, just in a way that's like more relatable. So I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Like when Squid Games was popular, I had a whole squid, like I put my room in a square. And they played games to win extra credit points based on whatever we were reading. So like, I'm real fun in the classroom if it pushes learning.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep. As a coach, I get to see some of it, you know, it's fun. It's great. Okay. Well, this is awesome, Jarvis. We're already having fun. So we talked about some of your struggles, and of course, with struggles also come a lot of wins, especially if you're able to persevere through some of those struggles. So you don't have to tell us about the ways in which you persevered through some of your challenges, but we would have liked to hear about some of your wins, some of your proudest moments that you've had as a teacher.
Mm-hmm. I realized I was the likable teacher when kids wanted to start coming sit in my classroom at lunchtime and wanting to come in my class rather than being in other classes. And like, no, I'll do my work in here. Let me stay. I'm like, no, you need to go to your class. Thank you. You're not about to get me in trouble. Okay. I got to finish my 2 years. Okay. Yeah. But those are definitely highlights, like when students want to be in your presence and be around you and feel comfortable with talking to you about situations. So that is like my favorite part of teaching, dealing with my kids. Because I have the big babies. I teach 12th grade. And everybody has the same reaction you all just had, like, ooh, they think they're grown. And I'm like, that's exactly why I love them, because they're not grown. They just think they're grown. I'm like, if I can stop you from getting a diploma, you're not grown, okay? But they are big babies, indeed. So I love that. I'm the dance coach at my school. We had a performance today, and so it's always great when like teachers and other students like, oh, y'all did great. Like the girls did so good. They were together and all that. Love performing. I grew up a dance and theater. So those things just make me happy outside of education. When kids get what I'm teaching, oh, it is the best feeling in the world. Like you're hammering something in them so like hard, like you're going to need this. And it clicks and they get it, like MLA format. They've never heard of it before the 12th grade. And again, this learning gap, like I don't remember being taught MLA format in high school. Like I had to learn it as I'm trying to write the paper in college. And so just getting them to actually do in-text citations properly and put the period inside the quotations and doing the parenthetical citation properly and writing the bibliography or works cited page properly and putting it in the right order. And like, just when they get it and turn it in, I'm like, you actually listened and got it and you're using what I'm teaching. Mm-hmm. So those are the big wins for me in the classroom.
You know, those college professors are going to love you for that.
I hope they remember. I hope they remember.
They remember, because what's the one that I used to use in high school where you like go and plug in the name of the book and it'll like create the citation for you? It's a citation machine or something.
I use citation.
I'm like, shout out to them.
Yeah.
Because they're the real MVPs. I don't think it's like up and running anymore, or it's probably not as accurate as it used to be. But I appreciate you teaching them those skills, because I remembered learning that in high school, but I also had to learn it over again because things had changed since I got to college from high. I'm like, I don't even know. And then of course they're like, we're not using MLA, we're using APA. And I'm like,
I was fortunate enough. Most of my professors were like, I don't care what you use, just be consistent. And I'm like, I learned MLA, I'm going to work MLA for these next 4 years, okay?
I hear that, man. Why would I make my own life more complicated?
Why?
Why? Just why? All right, cool. Well, listen, we don't want to take too much of your time, but there are a couple more things that we want to talk to you about. One of them being, so now that you are reaching the end of your commitment as a core member, and we are also bringing in a new group of core members. So as someone who has been through the entire process from being recruited all the way to the end of your second year, what advice, and you know, it doesn't have to be just one thing, but what advice would you give to those who are becoming brand new core members?
When core members come to me and like, what would you tell the people? I usually say, don't get comfortable. Just because you were given or you preference this subject does not mean you're going to teach it at your school. Just because you preference this grade does not mean you're going to teach this grade in school. It also depends on where you get hired. Mm-hmm. In my hiring, I had three, I preference high school, of course, but I also interviewed with a middle school. I was hoping I did not get hired by the middle school. Oh, y'all don't know how much I was to not be chosen by this middle school. I was like, I really don't want middle schoolers. So luckily I got picked up. Luckily I got picked up by high school, which I wanted. But like, right, like flexibility, like just because you preference it does not mean it's going to happen. Just because you think you preference this subject, you may have two or three different preps. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get comfortable. Administration can do what they do. They can up and decide, oh, 2 weeks before you're supposed to start, you're going to switch subjects. Or the day before you start, oh, you're actually going to teach this. Go plan it. Like, and a lot of core members get irritated. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's the teaching profession. You have to be flexible.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So that would be my all-encompassing advice to anybody coming in. Don't think because you put it down on paper that it's going to actually happen. Or down on the computer, because it ain't on paper, honey. Just because you clicked a few buttons and said, here, like I got in early, so New Orleans was my number one pick. A lot of them know, honey, you may get your third and fourth pick depending on what deadline you come in on. Depending on what deadline you come in. So you got to stay ready and be ready for the job and remember your why. Like, you came in to help fight educational inequity. So keep that in mind.
Nice.
All the craziness is happening because it will be crazy.
I think some people don't realize it until things hit the fan. Like, I think we can stress it. I mean, I've been working and hiring with core members for the past couple of years. And I think I can say over and over, please be flexible. Da, da, da. But for some people, it just will not click till you have 2 feet in a school building. And then you see, like, your school leader's like, oh, no, baby. I want you to actually go teach elementary. Then what? So, but love that.
Because that happened to me. I preferenced English. I got hired as a social studies teacher. Mm. But then an English teacher left. And so I got my subject back. God works in mysterious ways.
Okay.
And won't he
do it?
Because I social studies, I mean, that may be that's actually my major, history, but I ain't teaching it.
Well, and I was like, I feel like you would have made that work too.
Yeah. Listen, it would have been an African American history class.
Exactly. And I'm not understanding the issue. I haven't heard not one problem.
Not one period. Issue.
Listen, we're going to put this book to the side. Yeah. Y'all need to know what actually happened and what's going on, okay?
I know that's right.
So we're hearing a lot of be flexible, right? Be flexible. And it's not to say, also, I do want to clarify for like maybe folks who may be new to the process. I don't want to scare you that you're going to come to New Orleans and find out that everything that you've been preparing for is just going out the window. It's not, it's not that, right?
No.
But we are saying be flexible because a lot of things change. And that's not just that the things that will change for you will be your subject matter, right? Just like a lot of things will change throughout the year. You'll go from teaching, you know, three classes to maybe teaching two or maybe teaching four, having to cover for a different teacher, having to have these extra meetings that you weren't expecting, having to take on some additional roles before or after school. It's just those, I think there's a lot of those things that folks don't anticipate, or just as you were saying, Ashley, it's not until you're in there, until you're in the building that you realize like this idea of educational inequity being a systemic issue is so much bigger than you just stepping into the school or you stepping into the classroom. And that's where, if we really want to do the work, there has to be a lot of flexibility on everyone's end and not just be like, well, that's not what I signed up for.
Yeah.
You know? All righty. Well, we are turning the corner here, Jarvis. I want to give you the space to also plug in some of your own side projects. I know you have a lot of things happening. You're writing scripts and you're writing, you know, you're writing plays and you coach dancing and you sing and you play instruments and you do all kinds of things. I'm like, dude, when do you sleep? And I also know that you created a scholarship for students who are pursuing a bachelor's degree who come from single parent households. I'm just like, Jarvis, dude, wow. First of all, can you talk to us about that? For like, what is the scholarship and why did you do this?
Yeah. So again, I'm preparing my students for college, and a part of that is money for college. Like, you got to get there and pay for it.
Yeah.
So I was like, how about I help them? Usually on Saturdays, I have a scholarship writing workshop. And so that is to help my students not only find scholarships, but help edit and write some essays that they may have to write for them. So they're presenting their best selves when they're submitting their scholarship applications. And literally, I was sitting there last semester on a Saturday and was like helping kids find scholarships and was like, kids are like looking for scholarships. Why don't I start one? Like, mm-hmm. I'm helping them find thousands and thousands of dollars. Why don't I help be a part of this? And so my mom passed away in 2008, and I was like, this could be a memorial scholarship for her. So I literally Googled that day how to start a memorial scholarship and got busy. Told my siblings, I have three siblings, and was like, hey, I'm starting a scholarship in mom's name. I'm going to get everything done. I just need you all to post it. Like, I'm going to do everything. So she has four children, and so it was going to be $4,000 for four, $1,000 for each recipient. Put it out on a Wednesday, got the $4,000 in a week. Calling, texting, I text everybody in my phone, like phone calls and emails, like work. I don't know how much work they did, but them and my daddy is a pastor, so he knows a lot of people in Houston.
Oh, yes.
So, right, like churches gave, his pastor friends gave, like we were working. And so I moved it up to 5,000. And so it's 5,000 for five different recipients. It is still open. It's on bold.org. It's called the Janie Mae Memorial Scholarship in honor of my mom who passed away of lupus in 2008. So everything is purple, like all the ads and stuff. So, yeah.
That's cool. Well, Jarvis, make sure you send me, or you can text it to me or email it to me, but send me the link so we can plug it into our show notes. And yeah, I mean, besides promoting it, you know, plugging it into the podcast, are there any other things that we can do to help you, you know, like go to complete this whole process? Because this sounds like a great cause, great thing that you're doing. I'm down to put in some time if time is what you need.
Yes. So it doesn't. So my mom passed away on May 3rd. Mm-hmm. And so the deadline, no pun intended, is May 5th.
Holy moly.
You know what?
I wasn't ready for that.
I was not. It took me a minute.
Didn't, I was not ready.
Yes. The deadline is May 5th, and her birthday is actually June 7th. And so that is when we're gonna announce the winners on her birthday. We have over 200 applications submitted now. Wow. So if y'all like reading essays, y'all can help me out because I got over 150 that I have not gone through. Wow. And again, this is all me. I just told my siblings to help promote and I'll do the rest. Mm-hmm. So if y'all like reading applications, y'all can help me out because I still have over a month to go, and it's averaging 10 applications a week now. So wow. I'm sure it's gonna be like over 250
okay
in a couple weeks.
Okay, we'll definitely connect and have time to give to read some of these.
So not only read my students' essays, but it's open to anybody across America who grew up in a single parent household. So I have people from towns and cities I've never heard of in my life, but they're trying to get to college. So
yeah, and every dollar counts because newsflash, college is very expensive.
Okay,
I am still paying Auburn University.
Expensive,
and will be.
But that just also says a lot about your reach. Like, think about the lives that you're impacting, even just like the thought of just them reflecting and writing the essay. I felt like even writing essays when I was younger was even therapeutic, or just like at times. I'm still learning a skill. It's like, even if they don't receive it, they still have that process of sharing their story and their experience with you. So what an honor. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm always in awe of people who have the ability and maturity to turn something tragic into something so positive. That's why I'm like, dude, whatever you need for this, I'm happy to contribute, even if it's just a pair of eyes, which, by the way, I was going to say, you're going to roll your eyes at me, but come to office hours and we can read your essays there and then.
That would be...
Who's going to roll their eyes? Me?
Yeah, I don't know. Just the fact that I'm plugging in office hours.
No, I'm not going to roll my eyes. I mean, I've been to office hours.
Yeah.
Also, correction, Taylor Anderson does not hold office hours. So looking for me.
This GNO, GNO, Greater New Orleans.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be here. I mean, practice ends at 5:30. Like when Ashley sent it, I'm like, honey, practice ends at 5:30. I'll come scoot on around up the street because my school right down the street. So I'll scoot on over.
Yeah, come through, bring your essays. I'm happy to help. I really am happy to help. Aww. Beautiful. Well, Jarvis, thank you so much for spending your day with us here. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about, that you wanted to plug, that you want to emphasize before we wrap up?
Be kind. Because you never know what people are going through. Mm-hmm. A lot of these kids' essays I read are high school students. And that is the grade that I'm teaching. And they come to school and they're doing their best in the middle of this panorama. Mm-hmm. And so if you are a teacher listening in high school or any school, just extend grace, because you never know. These kids are like really living life out here.
Yeah.
So be kind and extend grace. That's it.
Lovely. Absolutely lovely. Let me ask you one last thing. If anybody wants to know more about you, the work that you do, or wants to keep up with you on social media, are you on social media? Is there somewhere people can find you and see what you're up to?
So I am on Instagram at the Gloriana, the GLORIANA. I don't know why. Do y'all know where Gloriana comes from? I love to.
No idea.
Have you ever watched The Crown?
I've always wanted to, but never watched it.
Okay. So I'm real big on queens and kings and like that whole world and all that. And so when Queen Elizabeth II, like at the end of like the second episode or something, she's like taking her portrait for like the stamps and all that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, our very own goddess, Glorious Gloriana. And so that's like her nickname, Queen Elizabeth Gloriana. Mm. And then the whole thing, if I was a drag queen, would be Gloriana Regina, because Regina is queen and Rex is king. So Gloriana Regina.
I get it.
Mostly everything is the Gloriana, or even H.M. Gloriana, Her Majesty. I'm extra. I'm extra. Yes, H.M. Gloriana. Look for Gloriana and I will be near. I'm going on like an Instagram hiatus because I'm writing a TV show pilot currently.
Just drop that lightly.
That's why I teach English. I love writing. I'm also trying to do a screenplay for a movie. And I finished a musical, but I'm reworking it and editing it and all that, because I want to put it on a stage in like the next year. So... doing a lot. So like I'm doing like a social media hiatus, but y'all can still follow me when I come back.
Jarvis, when you get ready to go into production, call me now, because I've always wanted to produce a show.
Really?
Every time I watch Married at First Sight, I'm like, just let me be a producer.
I don't want to produce.
Just let me know what to do and I'll show up in Oregon. I'll have a clipboard and everything.
Period. Come on.
Yes.
I'm ready.
That's beautiful. Oh man. See, I'm telling you, I was like, when does this guy get any sleep? I don't get it. But good for you, Jarvis. I couldn't be happier for you. And I couldn't be happier that you joined our core. And I'm saying the same thing, but I'm so thrilled that you joined us for today. And you know, like you made us laugh, you touched our hearts. And man, we're gonna miss you when you're not around anymore. But
listen, I will be an alumni. So I will be around. My partner is here. So as long as he's playing and doing the things, I will be in New Orleans. So
wonderful. Wonderful.
Say as long as he don't go nowhere, I'll be here. Where's some wood at? I need some wood. Let me knock out something. Right.
Not on wood.
So happy to have you. I was like, I'm so happy to have met you. It's been an honor and a pleasure to meet you today and to talk with you. And I'm going to pass it over to Ms. Jordan, I guess, to close this all out.
Okay, I can close this out. Great. And I have to say it on air. I got to just put it, make it permanent at this point in time, because I said this before we started recording. But Jarvis, you've always been such a joy, such a light to be around, to interact with. And I just really hope that your reach, that your light continues to shine on everybody around you. So thank I know you're you. Doing that with the scholarship, and you're going to be able to touch lives through your words and your scripts. So just keep it up. People see you. People notice you. People love you. And we definitely appreciate you. Just your time for being on the podcast. It means so much. I'm telling you, when Henry said, yeah, Jarvis is going to be on, I was like excited. I was like, yes. Like, it was like a breath of fresh air. I was like, I'm so excited to interact with you in this way. So,
if y'all want a Kiki partner, I'm here, okay?
So, keep shining. And like Jarvis said, y'all, be kind and extend grace. And that is all that we have for y'all today. Talk to y'all later.
Peace.